listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio, where we answer your questions from a Bible-believing, God-trusting, Pauline perspective.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us this week as Pastor Justin Johnson of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship answers your questions from the Bible. If you have Bible questions that you would like to have answered on Grace Ambassadors Radio, please visit our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. But in the meantime, stay with us to hear Pastor Justin Johnson answer today's questions from the perspective of the Bible, rightly divided.
Watching Stephen Curry will not make you a basketball player. Neither will sitting in church make you a Christian. So what makes a Christian? It starts with, we're all sinners. And if we could save ourselves, we don't need Christ. But the truth is that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead and offers you eternal life freely. Trust that Christ did everything necessary to save you, then you will be a Christian.
Learn more about real Christianity and the clear gospel by visiting our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. That's graceambassadorsradio.com.
Curry steps back. It's good!
Every summer, we set up an informational booth at several county fairs throughout north central Indiana, and we spread out a couple of tables with gospel tracts and Bible study materials and books to try to get people to think about their Bible, ask Bible questions, to get the gospel out there so that people can be saved. It's a fun experience for us, and it's great to talk with people who we might not otherwise get to see, and we pass out a lot of literature. And we often get responses from people who have encountered us at the fairs, read some of our material, and talked to somebody there at our booth. And so today, since the fair season has come to an end, we thought we'd have a special end-of-season fair wrap-up episode for you. And we're going to discuss some of the things that we talked about at our booths this summer at the fairs. And we're also going to talk about some of the questions we received from people who did visit with our booth and talk to people there. We're going to start off with a fun one. We don't always have pleasant conversations or pleasant responses, and that's okay. If you've been listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio for any amount of time, you know that we welcome your comments, good or bad, positive or negative, so that we can get your feedback about what you're hearing. And one of those such comments that we received from the fair is simply, "You are so wrong. Please read Acts 2:38 for salvation and also John 3.
Yeah. What a good response. Well, not a positive response, obviously, but any response is good, like you said, to get feedback from people. And at the fair, it's a great opportunity to just meet with folks to see what their background is and what they believe about the gospel. And it's evident what this gentleman is believing. He wants me to read Acts 2:38, and so I'll do that here on the radio. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And so this, of course, is the conclusion of Peter's sermon at Pentecost. And many people think that the church began at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, 2,000 years ago, when the Holy Ghost came down and filled the believers there. And so Acts 2:38 is the end of his message. The problem with Acts 2:38, I believe, as the gospel, I think we've covered this before briefly, is simply that I don't know if you knew the gospel of the grace of God, if you would actually read Acts 2:38 to someone to be saved. The cross of Christ isn't mentioned in Acts 2:38. Acts 2:38 talks about repentance and water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And so your sins are forgiven through repentance and water baptism, but nowhere is there trusting there of the finished work of Christ on the cross for your salvation. We've read here before a better testimony of salvation, maybe by Paul, where in 1 Corinthians 15 he says that the gospel he preaches is that Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And so that includes the elements there of the gospel of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Acts 2:38 does not. And in fact, Peter and the 12 apostles there did not yet know the information that makes up the gospel that we now preach. That was revealed later in the Bible. And so Acts 2:38, we have read before and we've dealt with. The same goes for John chapter 3, where, of course, everyone's favorite passage in John is John 3:16. And again, if you're thinking about a passage of the Bible to put on a tract or a banner or a flag to wave it around the earth, so that if that is what that's the only thing anyone ever saw about the Bible was that one verse, which verse would you choose? And of course, you've all seen the football games and things like that where people post John 3:16 on their chest or on their billboard or something. And John 3:16 is everyone's favorite passage that says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so you have in this verse the elements of everlasting life and belief in the Son, Jesus Christ. And this is what many people think it means to be a Christian. Believe that Jesus is the Christ and God gives you eternal life. And those are important elements to being a Christian, to being saved. And yet people forget that in John chapter 3, when Jesus is saying that, this is chapters, this is years before he would die on the cross. And so it's that cross work that actually makes salvation possible for us. And Jesus wasn't preaching John 3:16 as a means of salvation. He was simply declaring who he was. As God was manifest in the flesh, Jesus said, I am the Son of God, and God sent his only begotten Son, which was himself. Jesus was speaking about himself, and that if you believe on me, you'll have everlasting life. And that's what Israel needed to do, to believe on him and follow him as the Messiah to receive eternal life. But he had not yet died on the cross. And so we live at a time after the cross. All of our calendars are based on the cross, the life of Christ. And so we are living in the year 2016, Anno Domini, A.D. And so we lived out 2016 years after Jesus' life. And so in John 3, the cross is important, but that didn't happen until later. So we're supposed to read John 3 and Acts 2:38 for the gospel when the gospel that saves us just simply is not there. But thank you for your response, and if you got a response to the answer, go ahead and give us your feedback. Again, positive or negative, we want to hear from you. We want to discuss the gospel with you, that being the most important thing about Christianity.
One of the most popular tracks that gets the most attention at the fair booth is our tract on tithing. It's bright green to get people's attention. And it stands out among the 30 or so tracks that we have out on the tables because the title is 39 Reasons to Stop Tithing.
Yeah, it's an amazing attention getter. And it's amazing how many people walk by our booth. It's just great to see the reactions because it's a great hook. They'll see that, and they'll see that we're telling people not to tithe, and they'll just give the strangest looks. And you know that these are people that go to church and the people that consider themselves Christians. And that's exactly who we're targeting. We're trying to talk with people who think they're Christians, or who are Christians, because, you know, 90% of people in our country say that they're Christians. And this is often the conversation I have when people come up after they see one of these tracks, one of these hooks, is I'll say, well, 90% of people in America call themselves Christians. Do you believe that? And inevitably, you know, they say no. Because I don't, they don't. Who does? I mean, who actually thinks that 90% of the people in America are Christians, are Bible-believing Christians? And it's just something no one really agrees on. So then I ask them, well, what makes the difference between, you know, a real Christian and someone who just says that they're a Christian? And the conversations that ensue are good conversations because now we're talking about the gospel. We're talking about what saves people, what actually makes you a Christian. And the answers sometimes are disappointing. Sometimes they're good. And sometimes we open the Bible up and we explain from the scripture what it means to be a Christian. But to be a Christian, typically people will say, well, they're not Christians because they don't behave a certain way, or they don't vote a certain way, or they don't live a certain lifestyle. That's why they're not Christians. But that's not what makes a Christian, is how you live your life. Yes, if you are a Christian and you believe God and you believe the Bible, you're going to try to order your life around godly principles and around righteous behavior. You're going to try to do that. You're going to, because God is God and you let him be true. But what saves you from sin? What makes you a Christian? And the answer to that is found in people who are trusting Jesus Christ alone to save them from sins. They're not trusting their own lifestyle to make them a Christian. They're trusting Jesus Christ. You see, if they were just trusting their own lifestyle, they wouldn't need Christ to do that. They could read the Bible and say, well, I don't need Jesus. I just need, you know, an example, an instruction of how to live. And they go to the Bible for that, and they live a moral lifestyle. You don't need Jesus for it. You can be, you know, Muslim or a Hindu or just a religious person or a spiritual person and live a good life, be a nice person, and, you know, not be a Christian. A Christian is someone who needs Christ and whose life is defined by Christ. Well, Christ died 2,000 years ago, and he rose from the dead. So to have your life defined by Christ's death and resurrection, that's a Christian. To believe on his death as payment for your sins, to believe on his resurrection as power to give you new life, that's a Christian. And so inevitably people will say, well, you know, they're not Christians because they don't live right. Well, none of us live right. Romans 3:10 says there's none righteous, no, not one. None of us are perfect. We're all sinners. And it's while we were sinners that Christ died for us. And that's where God commended his love. And so we trust Christ. We're Christians. But that tithing tract, which was your original question, is really an attention getter. And it's true that we should not tithe. Many people think by giving money to their church, this earns their way to heaven. They won't say it that plainly, but we're trying to say plainly what people are actually doing. They think by attending church, they get to go to heaven. They think by showing up and putting offering into the offering plate, they get to go to heaven. And that can't be further from the truth. And it would be wrong of me to give people the impression that by doing that, you are a good Bible-following, God-obedient Christian. Because that's not the case, okay? God saves by grace, and the difference between tithing and what we communicate at Grace Ambassadors is this principle of grace. You see, tithing means 10%, and tithing was a law in the Bible. You read the most about tithing in the Old Testament, law given to Israel, and the law commanded that people do things, and one of the things it commanded was that they give money to the priests in Israel, okay? And so today, there is no national Israel that God is building up. He's building up his church, the body. There is no priesthood in the church. There were a priest tribe in Israel, but there's no priests in the church, the body of Christ. We're all members of the body. And so who are we to tithe to? Where are we to tithe? You know, what are we to tithe? In Israel's law, they're supposed to tithe three times. So it's actually, you know, around 30% they tithe. So how many times do we tithe? And so you'll hear preachers say, well, tithe to your local church. And you'll hear preachers preach from Malachi 3 and say, well, God said that you're robbing him if you don't tithe. Well, Malachi is written to Israel, and God's speaking to Israel. They were required to tithe. But you're not Israel. I'm not Israel. We're Gentiles. We're not under the law, Romans chapter 6, verse 14. And tithing robs you of the riches of God's blessing of grace. You see, today God is dispensing his grace and communicating grace to us. Not only grace through his working for our salvation, God working on our behalf to save us through Christ, but also grace teaching us to operate from the inside out. You see, a law that requires you to do something like tithing imposes on you from the outside a required response. You have to tithe whether you feel like it or not. You have to tithe whether you want to or not, because that is the law. That's the rule. That's what makes you a Jew or a Christian, or whatever you think your religion is. You've got to do this performance. But grace doesn't teach that sort of outward necessary performance. Grace teaches a self-motivating, more correctly, spirit-motivating, God's word working in you so that you purpose in your heart. And so in order to dispel a little bit of the anger response that people see when they see that tithing tract, they say, you're teaching we shouldn't tithe? Well, yeah, I'm teaching you shouldn't tithe because I teach grace giving. And that's when they relax a little bit because they think that's the same thing. And it really isn't. Grace is as people purpose in their heart. And so we never pass a plate at Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship. We never require people to tithe. We try to communicate grace into their hearts. And when they purpose in their hearts, and they, 2 Corinthians 9 says, they give cheerfully because they want to. Well, that's a proper motivation for giving, and that's the only giving God wants today, is when people purpose in their heart. If you don't purpose in your heart, and I've told people this at Grace Ambassadors, if you don't purpose in your heart, then you shouldn't be giving because now you're giving out of a wrong purpose. You see, you're giving because you think someone telling you you have to, right? And so this is not what God wants. He wants your heart. He wants you to purpose, and he showed you the example of that when he purposed to save you when you could not, when he sent his son to die on the cross for you. So, yeah, it's a great traction opportunity to talk to people.
We're going to take a quick break here in the middle of our question and answer session today on our Fair wrap-up episode, and we'll be back with more Fair questions in just a moment. Here's what people are saying about Mid-Acts Pauline Right Division.
When I learned how to rightly divide the Bible, I realized for the first time that I truly am at peace with God through what Jesus Christ did on the cross.
Studying and learning God's Word rightly divided has helped me to realize how important it is to know sound doctrine.
When I came to rightly dividing the Word, everything just fell in place.
True comfort and peace come from knowing what God is doing today, and I don't have to wonder anymore because he's revealed it in his Word.
Right division has changed my understanding of Christianity and the Bible.
I was a very dedicated Christian before I learned Right Division, but when I learned Right Division, it completely changed my life.
Learn more about Mid-X Pauline Right Division at graceambassadorsradio.com. This edition of Grace Ambassadors Radio is our summer fair wrap-up episode, where we're talking about our experiences at the county fairs in central Indiana this summer. And we talked about our most popular tract that leaves our table is our 39 Reasons to Stop Tithing tract. The interesting thing about that, I think the reason why it gets so much attention from people, is because who goes to a church where the pastor doesn't tell them that they need to tithe and give their money? Well, the second most popular thing that gets attention at our booths at the fair is our tract that says half of pastors don't believe the Bible. So interestingly enough, the pastors are the ones that communicate the tithing, which you find in the Bible. And then we also learn from a poll that half of pastors don't believe their Bible. We even get asked, so are we saying that we shouldn't believe our Bible? So it's just an attention getter. Maybe you could explain a little bit more about that.
Yeah, and it's a strange response because, like you said, it's from a poll so it's not us just stating something randomly. This was a survey like a Gallup poll or a George Barna poll that was done nationally where they surveyed pastors and people that weren't pastors and asked them just basic Bible questions. Do you believe the Bible has mistakes in it? Do you believe Jesus was God? Do you believe you're saved by grace? You know, these fundamentals of Christianity. And they found out after this survey of basic Bible-believing questions that half of pastors said no to one or more of these questions. And so they concluded that half of pastors don't believe the Bible, which clearly teaches some of these things. And so people read that, and it's just unbelievable to some people. Others, they sympathize with it. They've had bad run-ins with pastors or something. But a lot of people don't understand. And they ask, you know, what are you trying to say? Are you saying we shouldn't believe the Bible? And of course, that's not what we're saying at all. It's more of a warning and an attention getter. And again, it gets people's attention because the pastor, you think, would be the last person that would not believe the Bible. But in fact, that's not the case. We read in the news just this last year how there are pastor atheists. I think the president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, or Dan Barker, he claims that he used to be a Christian. And so he's a former pastor. And he turned atheist. And there's many other pastors that are too scared to and don't have the courage to step down from their pulpit when they lose their faith. They don't believe. And so sometimes they stay in the pulpit. Other times they think it's fine. They think they're still Christian. And they just simply don't believe the Bible. There are denominations that teach like that. You don't have to believe the Bible to be a Christian, which I think is amazing. It's just how far away from the scripture people have gotten. But it does get a lot of response. And we're not communicating that people should not believe the Bible. Of course, we're believing that the Bible can be understood. It is the sole source of truth from God, and it's something that we can understand. So we're not even calling the pastors that walk by our booth unbelievers. A lot of pastors walk by, and they stop and talk with us, and some of them get a little offended, a little intrigued, and say, well, are you talking about me there in that poll? Well, it's only half of pastors. I mean, the other half are answering positively. What's also interesting about the survey, if you go online and read it, is that of the people who are not pastors, 75% of the people gave the wrong or a negative answer to those same questions. And so it's even worse for the people who aren't pastors. And, of course, we know doctrinally there's no difference between pastors and what people call laymen, but are just other Christians, except that perhaps the pastors do spend more time in the scripture, sadly enough. But yeah, there's a lot of people who just don't believe the Bible anymore. We're a biblically illiterate nation. I think it was Alabama that got the most spiritual state award down there in the Bible Belt. And the survey they gave Alabama, or gave all the states, was based off of how many of books of the Bible could they name. And Alabama could name, was it three or four of the Gospels, three or four books of the Bible. And so since they got all four of them right, they're the most spiritual. I thought, wow, that's amazing. You know, at the fairs, we're giving away balloons, and often we would ask people the questions, simple Bible questions. How many books of the Bible are there? Or can you name a few books of the Bible? And one of the most common responses to how many books of the Bible are there was, you know, 4, 5, 12. And it was just a reminder to us that not everybody studies the Bible, and yet they need to. There's a lot of truth in it. And so we're trying to encourage people to do that at our fairs, and it's a good opportunity to do that and a good way to evangelize.
And in case you do not know how many books are in the Bible, there are 66, so you needn't be one of the ignorant anymore. You've just learned that. One of the questions that we often get by passersby when they notice that our booth is quite different and they think that it's a Christian booth. We've got Bible literature. We've got verses up. But because we appear to be doing something that they may not be familiar with, we often get asked, what are you trying to do here? Do handing out tracts even work?
Yeah, that's a common question in the 21st century where, you know, we have smartphones and the internet and everything else, and everything's digital, and people think we're going away from printed books and all that stuff. So what are we doing? We're at a county fair. We've got printed tracts on pieces of paper. And one reason why they ask that question as well is that we don't put the name of our church on our booth. And so you're listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio, and Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship sponsors the radio here. That is a church south of Swayze. But we don't put Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship all over our booth. We do put the website there, but we put a Bible verse, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We put that on our booth. Then a lot of Bible literature. And I often advertise to people as they come up and say, what's going on here? And I say, well, this is Christian literature, Bible study literature, because we want people to study the Bible. We want people to understand what it says, and we want to have those conversations with them. But yeah, people ask, what are you doing? You know, and our goal is to again, encourage people to study the Bible. We're living at a time, I think, where people think the Bible is outdated, old-fashioned, doesn't have the answers. And one of the most common things that people have been lied to about is that the Bible has mistakes in it. That the Bible has mistakes, can't be understood, it's too hard to understand, it's a book of lies written by men, not God, and this is what people believe. They really believe that, and that's just a sad state of affairs, because they've never evaluated the facts, they never studied the material out. And so we're trying to bring that to people's minds, put it in the forefront of their attention, so that it can combat some of that negative cultural perspective on the Scripture.
People generally aren't used to having things like Christianity and their church tradition questioned. And a lot of the tracts and the titles of the literature that we have available at the booths do provoke these kinds of thoughts, and that gets people thinking, sometimes to the point they're so confused that we get asked the question, are you an atheist ministry?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's always a funny question. It doesn't happen often, but there's been a couple times we've been asked, are you atheist? And it's funny because we have a Bible verse on the back of our booth, and so I think it's pretty apparent we're trying to communicate Scripture to people. But they see titles like "Half of Pastors Don't Believe the Bible," you know, and the track we discussed before, you know, "Reasons Not to Tithe." And these are all doctrinal conversations from the Scripture, and so these are actual inter-church, inter-Christian communications. But they think we're atheists because they see us in a degree, what they think, attacking Christians. Now, our intent is not to attack Christians. Our intent is to get attention of people who think that they're Christians, which is the majority of people in America, and to open a conversation, a dialogue, which it does greatly. But people who are atheists, perhaps, or are not, and think we are, they ask us that question. And a lot of Christians kind of think that as well. They think, well, why are you doing this? If you call yourself Christians, why are you telling us these truths? But I think this is what's needed in the church. You know, a lot of people have the idea, well, the church ought to put aside our errors, put aside our flaws, not talk about them, hide them, put them in the closet, put them under the rug, and try to present this united front. Well, again, if 9 out of 10 people in America say they're Christian, apparently we don't even vote the same way. We don't have the same preferences. All Christians are not the same. All churches are not the same. And we need to recognize that. We can't say 90% of people in America are Christian, or we're a Christian nation, when we're so different. See, what do you mean by Christian? Do you believe the Bible? What kind of Christian are you? You know, these are legitimate questions to ask, and this is the conversation that needs to be had. If we're going to discover the truth and to get rid of the flaws and the failures that have happened through false teaching in Christianity, we need to identify that. And this is the way the church will get stronger, is by cutting off the branches that aren't bearing fruit, by identifying truth from error, from giving people discerning minds, and part of that discernment, at least in our country, begins with discerning what is true and false Christianity, discerning what is truth and false doctrine. And so here we let God be true. And, you know, you asked, and I don't think I answered the question, you know, do tracts actually work? And this is a great question. We have a lot of resources on our website talking about that. And the truth is they do. Okay, yes, they're printed tracts. And one of the most common responses people have when we say we hand out tracts is, well, you'll just see people throw them down on the ground or throw them away. And I say, so what? So what? you know, we have a website, and we make a website with material on it as well. And if you study the click-throughs to the website, an average bounce rate, they call it a bounce rate in website terminology, which is where people come to your website and immediately they just leave, you know, it's like 40 or 50% or more. In fact, 50% or more is a standard bounce rate, you know, for the most popular websites. I mean, to get most people to stay on your website, I mean, this is impossible. And so people are getting business through the 20, 30, and 40% of the people that stay on their website. And this is the same way with tracks. And so you hand out 100 tracks, 50, 60, 70 of them get thrown on the ground. Yeah, that's normal. You know, you talk to people who go door-to-door evangelizing, and they say it doesn't work. Well, maybe they haven't tried it long enough. You go to 100 doors, one person's going to respond and have a conversation with you. It's the same thing with the fairs. And so we pass out thousands of tracks. And yes, there are tracks that people take and they may not read and they throw away. But I love it when someone takes one of my tracks and I see it laying on the ground somewhere else, because then someone else is going to see it on the ground. They take our balloons and they drop them somewhere and they see a balloon there. It's like advertisement. But, you know, tracks are a beautiful way to evangelize, because when you're talking to Christians about the need to evangelize and need to communicate truth and Jesus Christ to people, one of the biggest fears people have, maybe we can talk about this in another broadcast, the biggest fear they have is not knowing what to say. And so, you know, you've heard pastors talk about evangelism and how to share the gospel and preach Christ to people. And you need to preach Christ to people, preach the gospel. And people are so scared. They don't know what to say. They don't know if they're going to say something wrong. And you know how you fix that? You write down what you want to say beforehand. You print it out and you give it to someone. And so the tract does the talking for you. You don't have to say a word. That's why tracts were created. And that's why they're so useful. And so, yes, they work. They've been working for centuries, and it's the very fact that Christians have stopped using tracts, which is why there's so much biblical illiteracy and a lack of conversation going on. And you say, well, you know, tracts are outdated. They're going the way of the book. Well, we can talk about that and how actually books are still in vogue and things like that. But fine, then use digital tracts. I mean, YouTube, Vimeo, online. You know, people watch videos on YouTube and there's advertisements there. There's AdWords with Google. There's websites. And yes, this is the modern way of communicating. And you can do that just as well. But there are still 30% of people who don't use the internet. And so that works just fine. And so all these ways of evangelism are good and they're helpful. They're profitable. We see results from them every time we use them. And so it's a good exercise for us and a good opportunity for other people to hear the truth.
Well, our summer fair season has come to a close, and if you cannot wait another year to find out about the tracks that we have available at our booth, just go to our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. Let us know you heard this episode on the radio, and then we'll send you a copy of all of our tracks that we have at the booth. We'll send you a nice little bundle, a package that contains all of those tracks for you to study and learn from or to pass out yourself.
The Bible says the preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. By the cross, God takes ungodly sinners and freely justifies them through faith. But how can a righteous God give salvation to ungodly men simply by faith? Shouldn't salvation be earned by good works? The problem is that we are all sinners and the wages of sin is death. So a million good works amount to nothing when one sin results in death. If God only can give salvation, and man cannot earn salvation and has nothing with which to pay, then the only way to get salvation is if God provides it freely. And this is exactly what God has done through the blood, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ did everything necessary to save your soul. Trust God's righteousness in Christ and not your own, and you will be saved.
Want to learn more about Mid-Acts Pauline Bible-believing Christianity? You can listen to all of our programs archived online at graceambassadorsradio.com. But don't just listen. I want your feedback. Go to our website and ask your questions. Tell me what you liked about this program. Tell me if you're confused about the Bible. Tell me how good-looking I am. Or tell me off. Whatever your reaction, I want to hear from you. If you'd rather write me a letter, you can send your questions and comments to P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana. The only Swayze in the world. Our website is graceambassadorsradio.com, and we go to the post office every week to hear from you at Grace Ambassadors Radio at P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, 46986.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Grace Ambassadors Radio, a ministry of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship in Swayze, Indiana. To learn more about our ministry or to submit your Bible questions to be answered on the air, please visit our website at graceambassadorsradio.com. That's graceambassadorsradio.com.